Welcome to the gospel meeting. We're going to start tonight by singing number 4 on your hymn sheet. Number 4 on your hymn sheet, it says, Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by his grace I am free. We're going to start number 4. Christ is the
Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by his grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me.
I'm not up here to tell stories. I'm not up here because I'm a better person than any other person in this room. If you were invited into this room, it's because someone cared about you and they want you to be saved. And what that means is that means they want you to be saved from your sins. You can't leave this world with your sins. When I leave this world, I won't have any sins because the Lord Jesus has washed my sins away. And I like telling people about the Lord Jesus. We could sing these songs all evening long and I would be a happy man. I like singing about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for me. And tonight, the gospel is a scary thing. It might be a boring thing for you. It might be an interesting thing. I've heard all kinds of feedback from people that listen to the gospel, but they're not saved. And tonight, we're going to pray, and we're going to bow our heads and pray, and we're going to ask that if there's an unsaved person in this room, that when you walk out those doors, you'd walk out a different boy, a different girl, a different man, a different girl, man or woman, you'd have your sins washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we just give thanks. We can stand here, and we can talk about the grace of God. And we just give thanks that we can talk about that story where that has come and thy matchless love from heaven's heights of glory down to this poor world and become a man and go to the cross of Calvary and pave for sin on that cross. And we give thanks that your precious blood as powerful enough to cleanse the sinner, the deep, any sinner in this room. No one too bad. No one too ugly in their heart. We just give thanks, Lord Jesus, that thou hast cleansed many of our sins and washed them away in your precious blood. And tonight, we just pray for help for the speaker. We pray for the audience that they would listen. We pray the Spirit of God that would use the Word of God to save souls tonight. We ask this in your name. Amen. I'd like to sing another song. It's number 32. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Tonight, there's nothing that can wash sins away other than the blood of Jesus. There's not two ways, three ways, four ways. I'm not going to give you a smorgasbord of ways to get saved. There's only one way. And it says it's through the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we'll read some verses about that. Number 32. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's a verse that I want to read, and if you don't have a Bible, just listen. It was in a chapter that we were reading here earlier. The verse is John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Tonight, the way to the Lord Jesus is very exclusive. There's only one way. And the Lord Jesus has made that way by the cross. And that's, you know, it's said, you know, men make fun of this. They make fun of what we're going to talk about tonight. They want a bloodless religion. Who started that bloodless religion? Clear back in the Bible, there was two boys, Cain and Abel. And he wanted to bring the best he had. And you know, I remember my mom reading that line upon line story to my brother and I. I thought, man, it's not fair. It's not fair that God accepted Abel's offering and he wouldn't accept Cain's offering. Some really good fruit. He was a good farmer. He brought the best he had. But he accepted Abel's offering. But you know, my mom explained, Abel maybe listened to that story about how God killed an animal and there was coats of skins provided. There was blood shed for Adam and Eve. Tonight, the only thing that can give you peace with God is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't bring your good works. You know, you might be like a lot of people that I talk to, and they want to figure out if God is really good. And they don't think he's very good. They don't think he's very good. And I want to look at a verse. It's an old recycled lie. It's in Genesis, it's at the very beginning of the Bible. We're not going to read a lot of verses. It's not very complicated what we're going to talk about tonight. But I want to tell you that God is good. But there's an enemy of your soul, serpent, Satan, the devil, the father of lies. He plants a little seed of doubt whether God is good. And he wants to tell you that God really isn't good and that God is holding back from you. And in Genesis chapter 3, it says in verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Yea, hath God said." Satan would like to tell you that God is holding back something good from you. And my friend tonight, boy or girl, man or woman, that is not true. God is a giving God, but God is holy, and God cannot accept sin in his presence. The reason why we have a gospel meeting tonight is there's three things that might happen to you. I had a gospel once, and I said there was two things that could happen to you. And a brother came up and he says there's three. The three is very scary. The third one. Number one, the Lord Jesus might come. We had a man that, Oscar Frazee, he reminded us every Sunday school what can happen before next week. This could happen before this meeting's over. The Lord Jesus may come. And there's many of us in this room that are looking forward to him coming and taking us out of this room. And we're going to be with him. Not just that we're rid of our problems, but we get to be with the one we love. That's what we were talking about. You are not wanting that to happen if you're not saved, because you won't be there. You'll be left in your chairs. The second thing is you could die. It's not whether you're going to die, it's when you're going to die. There's only a couple people that haven't died, and their names are in the Bible. The third thing that can happen is the Spirit of God will not strive with your heart. And you may have been to so many gospel meetings that he doesn't knock on your heart's door one more time. And you can't get saved. Your gospel hardened. My spirit will not always strive with man. This may be the last time that you can be saved. And you put it off. And you have a whisper in your ear, just like I did when I was sitting in the front row. Next week, I'm going to get saved. You know, at work, we have a lot of Spanish people. We say, mañana never comes. Tomorrow never comes because you just keep pushing it out. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So what we're talking about is very serious because there's three things that can happen to you. And we care about your soul. But most importantly, the Lord Jesus loves you more than anything. He loves you more than your parents love you. Your parents love you a lot, but the Lord Jesus' love is infinite. He went all the way into death. Your parents have not died for you. He went all the way to the cross of Calvary and died for you. He's shown you that he loved you by what he did for you. You have to make a choice. There's a verse in the end of Joshua. And Joshua was talking to the people. And it's the last chapter of Joshua. And Moses said something similar. And Joshua said something similar to all these people. And this is the same thing for all the people in this room. Let's see if I can find that. It says in the last chapter of Joshua 24, and I believe it's in 15. I'll give you a little context. He's talking to the people, and he's telling them they have to make a choice. Who they're going to serve. And tonight, the same question I want to ask you. And it's, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, verse 15, choose unto you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can you say, I'm going to serve the Lord? I want to ask this question, even if you are saved. Have you made that choice that you have surrendered 100% of your will to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not just a one and done. It's hard for this stubborn man to do that. But that's the best days, is when I start out in the morning and I say, Lord Jesus, I cannot do this without you. Everything I have is yours. I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Have you surrendered your heart to the Lord Jesus? If you're not saved, you wouldn't even want to say those words. But tonight, surrender your heart and accept him as your Savior. Why do you need to be saved? What have you done wrong? I have met some very, very nice people. I've met some very, very nice people. But there's no one that's not a sinner. In Romans 3 and 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you are not saved, you've stolen something from God. You haven't given his son any glory. He went to the cross of Calvary. He hung on that cross. And you just look at it, and you say it's nothing. You know, we read in the Old Testament, is it nothing to you all that you pass by? Does it mean anything to you tonight? When you see the Lord Jesus there on that cross, dying for you, and it just means nothing to you. What does it mean to you? You know, there are people that think they haven't sinned. A couple of us were talking about that. But you know, we know what the Bible says, and the Bible is the Word of God, and it's the authority on every subject that we should talk about in this room. It's the Word of God. And it says it's quick, means it's alive, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So we have to stick to the Word of God. But you know, maybe you haven't done very many things wrong. But I just want you to think about sin. Sin is exceedingly sinful. It's very sinful. Maybe you are a man my age, and you are a very good citizen, and you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't steal. Have you ever thought about anything wrong? Would you like all your thoughts to be on this back wall here? I remember Paul Robert preaching the gospel in Gresham. He said, if you can see all my thoughts last week, all on this wall, I just want to crawl underneath the carpet and leave. I would say the same exact thing about me. Our minds, we are born with a sinful nature. I still have that sinful nature. But I have a brand new life that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to give you tonight. All in this room are sinners. But some of us don't go by that label anymore. We're called to be saints. If you're saved, you're not called a sinner anymore. You're a saint of God. And he washes away your record. You can walk in this room with a record, and you can walk out with a clean record. You know, in the criminal system, there's plea bargains. You could go and you can do something. I could go speeding down the road, and I could go into class, and they would not show it on my record if I went to the class that I ever speeded. God is willing to clean your record with the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He clean your record clean. Never to hold it against you one time. You would be accepted in the beloved tonight. We see that in Ephesians. All these things that you would get the moment you were saved. You never would be a second class citizen. You'd be adopted in the family. You'd be part of the family. You'd be called a son of God. Now are you become the sons of God. He wants to have a relationship with you tonight, but he can't have it because of your sins. Your sins need to be washed away. I want to look in Luke 23. You have to make a choice tonight. If you don't make a choice tonight, you've already made the choice. You know, when the Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, sometimes I forget, but there was three crosses on that hill. We used to sing three crosses standing side by side. Oh, what a sight sublime. Two for their own transgressions died, one for the sake of mine. I, as one thief today, would say, oh, Lord, remember me. I don't know the rest of that. It's beautiful. You have to take your place on one of those crosses. I want to read a verse in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. It says, I found this a pivotal verse in my Bible, Luke 23 and 33. It's a very sobering verse. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. That's a serious event right there. That changes everything right there. They crucified. Peter says they crucified. You killed the Prince of Peace. There they crucified him, and the malefactors or thieves, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Let's skip ahead. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors or thieves, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto him, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Think of it. Two thieves. Everyone in this room is like one of those thieves. We've stolen something from God. We haven't given him glory. But here are both these thieves. They were mocking the Lord, Jesus, on that cross. But one of them was convicted. And he said, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deed. Do you realize tonight that you deserve eternal damnation in hell for your sin? Do you realize that? That you've sinned against the holy God? God doesn't want to put anyone in hell. He did not create you to put you in hell. He created you to have fellowship with you. He wants to have you with Him. But He cannot have you with Him because His house is clean. He is holy. And you are full of sin tonight if you are in your sins. One sin, two sins, 2 million sins. You're dirty. You cannot be in a holy God's presence. So He sent His Son into this world, from heaven into this world, to become a man, a perfect man, God's man. And He walked this world for 33 years. And the reason why He came in this world was to die on that cross. He set His face as a flint to Jerusalem. He was going to go to that cross and He was going to accomplish this work for His Father. So you could be part of that family that He has fellowship with. He hung on that cross. He was mistreated. We hear about how He was mistreated. He was very mistreated. We could go for 30 minutes on the mistreatments of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's very sad, and tears will be running down my face. But I want to tell you what happened on that cross that washes my sins away, that paves that God can justify me, and where I can be with Him. Because Jesus paid my sins. There was 3 hours of darkness on that cross. The sky went black for 3 hours. No man could see Him on the cross. God forsook Jesus because He took all the sins of this world. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'll read it. Don't want to miss this verse. For He, God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God punished His Son for 3 hours on that cross and made Him sin. Someone had to pay for Ted Sester's sins. Ted Sester couldn't go free. It wouldn't be just for Jesus to just forgive my sins, but He came down and He paid for my sins. He was forsaken of His God. We sing that song, the Father turned His face away. He'd never been forsaken. He says, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He was forsaken for my sins. He was paying for my sins on His own body on the tree. Those stripes didn't pay for my sins. The mocking didn't pay for my sins. He gave His precious life for my sins. And then He gave His life. But in anger, that soldier took the spear and pierced His side. And it says, forthwith came there out blood and water. And that blood and water, that blood washes my sins away. Tonight, it says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Would you just come to the cross and be clean? Tonight, it's easy. All you have to do is just say, Lord Jesus, I want You to be my Savior. I have sinned. It's that easy. You know, our brother Ernie Wakefield, he used to say, and I think it's so true, it puts it in so much perspective. You know, as I said when I was a kid, sometimes I said, hey, why did Cain, that wasn't fair? You know, I talk to people all the time that hear the gospel, and they think it's not fair because God's not good. God has blocked the road to hell with a cross of Christ. You have to say no to that cross to get to hell. It's hard to get to hell. If you go to hell in this room, you'll remember this meeting tonight. It says the worm dieth not. Your mind. You know, I was struck in Revelation that they cry for the mountains to fall on them. And then there's another place, they can't die. They want to die and they can't die. If you go to hell, you won't be able to die. You'll be there forever. And you'll say, why did I not, thank you, why did I not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? You know, there isn't a second chance. My dad was flying in an airplane, he was telling us last week. He was in the back, and I don't know, he talks to everybody. So the lady asked him, do you believe in a second chance? And he says, there's not a second chance. And the other stewardess said, the reason why you want a second chance is because you are not saved. That's what she turned to the other one and said. That's why you want a second chance. If you're asking about a second chance, that's because you're not saved. You need to come to get saved right now. I want to read two verses in closing that are very popular. Everyone knows it. You don't need to turn to it. It's John 3:16. I think we're probably running close to overtime. It's important. We think of John 3:16, but I want to read just a couple verses after that. I want you to remember that God loves you and that God is good and He wants the best for you. And He's provided a way. And if you do not go to heaven and you want to stay in your sins and go to hell, it's not going to be because God doesn't love you. For God so loved the world, loved, that He gave, a giving God, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now this is the verse I want you to remember. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But he that believeth on Him is not condemned. Tonight, if you're saved, you're not condemned. You're free. You can walk out that door, a free man, a free woman, free boy, free girl. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Tonight, there's no reason to walk out that door unsaved. If you need to talk to somebody, I'm sure that Brother Mark or myself, you could come talk to us. We'll guide you through the Word of God if you have questions. But there's no reason, if you walk out of this room unsaved, it's because you do not want to surrender your life and will to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give thanks. Our Father, we just give thanks that Your word is so clear about how to be saved. We just pray that everyone in this room that's not saved would admit they're a sinner, believe, and confess Your name. We just give thanks for going to that cross and dying for us. We give thanks that Thou dost wait for us and be gracious with many in this room. And we think of ourselves when we were lost, and coming to gospel meetings and making it terrible nights that we would stay awake thinking we're going to get saved someday. We just give thanks for waiting for us. We just pray, Lord Jesus, that as Thou art come, Thy coming is so soon, that there would be no one that waits. We just ask this in Your precious name. Amen.